Hey guys, Ron Placone here. You're listening to the Indie Bohemians. Hanging out because it's that time again. You know. So, my guest this week is Melissa. She only has one name. Huh? She only has a first name. She actually has two names. But she only wants to use her first name because she is an activist. And I think this is the first time in the history of the show where we've ever had a guest that wanted to do that just sort of did not want to really be in public. She is an activist who is involved with several progressive causes here in the Los Angeles area, and she also is active within the Democratic Party itself. She put forth a resolution to get money out of politics, and the response she got from that is very interesting, and we talk about it. She was also at the Sacramento, the convention that happened recently in Sacramento that I know a lot of you guys probably already know about, made national news when John Burton told a bunch of nurses that wanted single-payer health care to get out or shut the F up. You know, because those selfish nurses, you know, those selfish nurses that have dedicated their lives to helping sick people and want everybody to have access to health care. How selfish of them! That's definitely the group of people you want to tell to shut up. Good going. Good going. But anyway, Melissa talks about all of her experiences with all that. We have a nice long discussion, and it was a really fun one. Very political episode today. But some quick housekeeping. So June 10th, we're going to be in Chicago, the Chicago area this weekend. We're going to be at the Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois, June 10th, 2 p.m. show. It's a matinee show, live Jimmy Dore show. That show is totally sold out. But for anyone heading there, drop me a line, say hey, come up and say hello. I look forward to seeing everybody there, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the People's Summit as well. For everyone that's going to be in Chicago, I will be there along with the Jimmy Dore Show. We'll be there. It's going to be great. Also, a few highlights coming up. June 19th, another Jimmy Dore Show at Flappers Comedy Club over in Burbank. And July 15th, we're going to be at the Great Star Theater in San Francisco, California, another Jimmy Dore Show there. And I believe that show is sold out, but I hope to see you guys there. And then I got some more shows on my own that I'm working on, hoping to get a few things in place here in the next couple weeks. I'm going to be doing another music show at some point, going to be doing a lot of stand-up in the LA area as well. More to come on all that. I'm going to get right to it. We got a nice, fun chat today, and it's a long one, so I want to jump right in. RonPlacone.com for all the latest updates and all the information. We're going to get straight to Melissa without a last name. Now, the first time, almost every guest I've ever had, or pretty much every guest I've ever had until now, like they're pushing something, right? Like maybe they have a book and they're an author. Maybe they're a comedian. Maybe they're an actor. Maybe they're a musician. In most cases, they're a musician. This is the first time I've ever had anyone that's like, I'm an activist and I want to kind of stay relatively private. I want to pump the causes and the groups I'm a part of, but not necessarily myself. And I don't think that's any better or worse than anything else. I just think it's a little interesting. And in my case, it's a little different. So anyway, we're going to get right to that. I'm Ron Placone. You're listening to the Indie Bohemians.
Here's your Monkey Minute. I am Angie Doran for the Indie Bohemians. From the BBC, scientists in the U.S. have accurately reconstructed images of human faces by monitoring the responses of monkey brain cells. Yeah, I know. I'm lost, too. But anyway, the researchers showed pictures of human faces to macaque monkeys, then recorded patterns of brain activity. This research may aid forensics, where brain activity could be monitored to reconstruct a criminal's face. Oh, so that's the point of this. Okay. That is the Monkey Minute. I am Angie Doran for the Indie Bohemians.
Ron Placone here. You are listening to the Indie Bohemians, and I am joined today by former Bernie delegate. I guess we have to say former, right, at this point?
I guess so. I've also been saying Bernie Sanders delegate 2016, mm-hmm. hoping that there will be a future
Right.
Bernie delegate.
You think he'll do it in 2020?
I don't know. I don't see why not.
I don't think it's going to be him. I think he's going to groom somebody else. Just for the sole reason that it's like he'll be like 78.
There are records to be broken, you know.
I agree.
I don't know. The whole age thing, it's overrated.
I agree with you. I really do. I just think from his standpoint, he's trying to lay the groundwork for the next generation, and I think that's how he wants to finish his career, and you know, I don't see him necessarily wanting to, but I could be wrong. Maybe he's gonna go for it in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be behind him.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm with Bernie delegate Melissa.
Yes.
One name. She likes to go by one name.
Yep, everybody.
Some of the activists do. Some of the activists do. I met you through, you've been to some of the live Jimmy Dore shows, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Have we met before?
Just after one of the shows, just okay. Kind of like, hey, and that's it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right
so
on.
Not really.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, thanks for reaching out.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming and talking to me about your work, because you were in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
You published some videos there, kind mm-hmm. of exposing the stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they told you to shut up or get the F out,
mm-hmm.
were you thinking, how nice of them? They gave me options. they're really reaching out. This is how we unite, you know? Give us choices. We can either shut the F up or get out. How kind.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no process being followed. The democracy, really, it was just being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In what way?
Okay, well, let's see. So I went to Sacramento, well, now in multiple ways. Now it's coming out, but I can tell you about my experience bringing a resolution forward to the Democratic Party. Do you want to hear about that?
I want to hear about your experiences, yes.
Okay.
So,
let's see. One day, through my email or Facebook or something, I saw one of the resolutions about the Russians. Russians have hacked the election. We need to do something about the Russians. And I'm just thinking, are you kidding me? The Democratic Party has other things it needs to deal with. So I wrote a resolution to denounce money in politics, and the party should just follow its platform, which is just basically says, we denounce cronyism and all that. It was all on the platform, so it was all fine. Nothing needed to happen, just we needed to start following the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this resolution with a fellow burner and submitted it. Followed the timeline, got it through, and they accepted it. And then when we went to Sacramento to kind of testify for it, I found out that they had ruled it out of order, meaning it didn't even qualify to be a resolution, and which I couldn't understand because we followed all the guidelines. So,
it was to completely get money out of politics.
It was to hold the party accountable and all delegates and politicians that call themselves Democrats,
mm-hmm.
hold them accountable to not accepting money.
Okay.
You know, and to denounce the idea of it.
Okay.
It's just a resolution. Resolutions really have no teeth. I never even wanted to write a resolution because I knew it was just a waste of time. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't a law. It wasn't going to do anything. But now I see, like, wow, the Democratic Party is extremely opposed to getting money out of politics. They went way out of their way to quash this.
Mm-hmm.
Just a resolution. I mean, this is just a resolution. And they have no teeth. These resolutions, like I said, it's just a resolution means we like the idea as a party. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we're going to do anything about it.
And they couldn't even throw you that bone.
Right. No. A couple days before the convention, I started getting contacted by people I didn't know, including one of the people that was running to be the chair of the party. So this whole Sacramento convention, the whole, you know, the big deal about it was we were all going to go up and vote for, pick a new chair, like a leader, president type of thing, of the party of California, the Democratic Party. And there were two choices, Eric Bauman and Kimberly Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Bernie people supported Kimberly Ellis. Some Bernie people supported Eric Bauman, but mostly it was kind of split in that way. And then there were also, you know, Hillary people and like, now we don't talk about Bernie Hillary type things anymore. It's kind
of
like,
some people do. They won't let it go.
Yeah.
Which I think is disappointing.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I'm of the camp of, you know, if we don't learn from history, we're bound to win in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcasm slide. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I say, let's focus on a platform.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders' platform happens to have approval of 80% of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And more people in red states are cheering for the idea of single-payer health care than ever before.
Right.
So why don't we focus on that platform? And you know, the big difference between Bernie Sanders and establishment Democrats, as far as a platform goes,
mm-hmm.
he has one.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just have a bunch of nice words on a piece of paper.
Right.
He has an actual platform.
Right.
So unless Tom Perez and his little buddies come up with a better platform, I say you gotta go with Bernie's. And they can't come up with a better platform. Why? Because their donors aren't gonna write one for them.
That's it.
Rant over. Where were we?
Yeah, no, that there's now, you know, so these Hillary proponents, you know, supporters were also, you know, these are progressive. So now what's happening, I think there's a shift in the party with delegates now, because I'm a delegate to the state party. And a lot of Bernie people ran to be delegates. And then we heard about this Kimberly Ellis person who was running to be chair of the party. And
did you give away one of her secrets? Is that her 2020 plan? You're
I
just spilled the beans.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to tell anybody.
Nah, she's not. I don't think she's. Well,
now
we'll
everybody, Ron's huge platform. Everyone's gonna know now.
No. Well, we'll see. Okay. So anyway, so she kind of started adopting a lot of Bernie's platform, and she was saying things that we Bernie people like to hear, like, let's hold the party accountable. Let's bring more grassroots activism involved, and all that, you know, good stuff. So anyway, and the other person was Eric Bauman, who stood for something else, stood for old guard, same old, same old. He's progressive. He calls himself progressive. But, you know, he took money from pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
industry.
Yeah, I remember that was a big concern for him.
So that's where we were at. Anyway, I got this Facebook message from one of the people running. There were three people. These were just two people, but I mentioned one more. She ended up contacting me saying, hey, you know, the current party chair wants you to withdraw your resolution. And, you know, he promises and he says that, you know, if you take it down, we'll, you know, in the future, we'll take it around the state and we'll get a lot more support, and, you know, we'll push it later. And I'm like, no, what? Why?
Why? Like, what's your reason?
Yeah, resolution, you don't like it, then they deny it. No big deal. And then I got another phone call from the Kimberly Ellis camp. They called me, that Kimberly Ellis running for the chair. They said, hey, we heard from the chair, the current chair of the party, and you might want to think about taking it down because blah, blah, blah. Same thing.
What was the blah, blah, blah?
Again, it was like, you know, we should get, you know, it's actually, you should get more support for it first. You know, we could get Bernie people involved and get feedback for it. This is just a
piece of paper
resolution.
Did you refer them to Wolfpack? Be like, there's a lot of people trying really hard to get money out of politics.
Yeah.
And if more people knew what it really was.
Yeah.
But, you know, the corporate media doesn't report on money in politics. Why? Because they're benefiting the most from it.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, I can understand their point, the party's point, if they're saying, look, money in politics is a long game. And we got to focus on a lot of short-term problems right now. I can understand that.
Wow. You know what? When you put it that way, it's like, yeah, I guess that's something.
Let me finish though. But to your point,
mm-hmm.
which I'm more in line with,
mm-hmm.
is it's just a resolution,
mm-hmm.
and a resolution like that is setting a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing the Democrats really need is trust
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, it's getting a lot of people's trust back.
Hell yeah.
So I'm with you that like I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
I can understand the perspective of, hey, this is a long game and
right.
we got a lot of short-term issues right now. I can understand that.
Well,
but again, it's not like you're saying, let's get this through tomorrow. You're saying
right.
this is a resolution.
Yeah, it just shows you're interested in the idea.
Mm-hmm.
However, a lot of politicians, progressive politicians, that they're progressive on other issues, Not on this one. They will say stuff like, oh, you know, well, they'll say, well, what are we going to do about the Republicans? We have to compete with Republicans. Or they'll say, I'm not going to go into a battle holding sticks when everybody else is holding guns or, you know, holding weapons. So they just feel that this is just pie in the sky, not possible. But even, you know, the most powerful politicians out there are the ones in high places. They're not willing to take a stand on this.
Well, and the people that make those very tired arguments, because that's exactly what they are, they're incredibly tired, mm-hmm. are forgetting the little small piece of information that Bernie Sanders just blew the roof off the place and proved that that's right. not a relevant system anymore.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders showed up to a gunfight with a butter knife,
mm-hmm.
and he almost won. Why did he almost win? Because if you have a butter knife in a gunfight, but you have a lot of people behind you,
mm-hmm.
you still got a shot at winning.
Yeah.
And that's what he had.
Yep.
You know, he proved that ideas are still the most powerful way, but at this point, are the most powerful way to run an election. The money in politics model is old and tired. Also, you know, another fun fact that especially Democrats don't like to point out, Hillary outspent Trump 2-1 and still lost.
That's a good one.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and this is not, you know, I mean, I despise Trump as much as the next person,
mm-hmm.
but it's, you know, I mean, you can't just say that, oh, well, we can't, you know, we can't show up to a gunfight with a butter knife. How about getting a platform?
Yeah.
How about getting some people something to believe in so that they're going to get behind you in 2018?
This is
You're
really
not doing
a
any of that.
Point. This is a huge sticking point for Bernie, you know, Bernie supporters, for the true progressives, because there are Democrats out there that call themselves progressive. They're just, you know, throwing that term around all the time. But when it comes to this point, that's where things kind of the line gets drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start to see who's who in the party. But one person did sign it. One very brave person named Senator Ro Khanna signed
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And he was on Jimmy Dore's show, and they were talking about it.
Yes.
And so that was really fun. And he signed
it. And for some progressives, he's still not enough for them.
True.
We've taken some heat for Ro.
Really?
Yes. And,
oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to get off too much on that. I mean,
yeah.
I like Ro. Jimmy likes Ro. And the smears against Ro are so, they're really fishing. It's
mm-hmm.
like they want something to throw
yeah.
at the guy. Like, they're like, well, he gets money from Silicon Valley. Well, that's
right.
where he lives.
Right.
Those are
people work there.
Those are individuals
yeah.
that are giving that to him because they believe in what he's doing. And yes, they do have the means to do that, but
right.
they're not corporations. They're people
yeah.
that just have some money, but still believe in what the guy's about. So they can afford to give him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And even Ro himself, he's like, look, I don't love the fact that, you know, I'm getting those big contributions from individuals, but they're supporters of mine and they can. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, God knows I could use it. I mean,
right.
And what was the other big thing? There was some email that was sent back in 2015.
Mm.
And it was like,
I don't know about this one.
Yeah, it was such, and I'm not remembering the details off the top of my head, but again, it's like we looked into it and it was such like a, it wasn't even sent by him.
Mm.
And it was basically like, not anti-Hillary enough for some people. And it's like, okay, you know, my thing is, you know, don't have a purity test so intense that you yourself could not pass it.
Yeah, nobody.
You know, and when you're being this much of a, I guess, stickler, for lack of a better, like, it's like you're giving fodder to the centrists that
exactly.
want to halt progress. You're giving them fodder because you're proving them right by being that extreme in the way that you're conducting yourself, you know?
I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's been
mm-hmm.
my latest phrase because I've seen it in local politics here in LA where we've got two Bernie progressives. Bernie-crats. Have you heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're calling ourselves Bernie-crats because nobody can call themselves a Bernie-crat and, how do I say it? Basically, a lot of people, right after Bernie, everybody was calling themselves progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not progressive in our eyes. So we ended up, I think we started calling ourselves Bernie-crats as kind of Democrats that support Bernie Sanders. But Yeah, I've seen it in local politics here that we've got two Bernie-crats or running against each other, and then I don't know. Well, maybe they weren't. Actually, no. One was establishment, another was non-establishment, but they were both. They both consider themselves Bernie supporters, and they just, you know, politics. Bernie supporters all over just took sides immediately, and they kind of, you know, took sides, and the non-establishment person lost because a lot of Bernie people, I don't know, they just smeared him, and he also said, you know, negative things that were taken out of context, I thought. Anyway, this is way off topic, but I think we need to be really careful about where we're going to put our support, who we're going to support, and then just stick with it. And if they're not perfect, you know, but there's something better than what we've got, and we believe that they're actually going to do some good and not, you know, do really bad things, then we should just vote for them. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm totally with you. I mean, pretty much everybody the Justice Democrats have endorsed, I have no reason not to vote for them. Mm. You know, and none of them are perfect, mm-hmm. but these are good progressives with good ideas that mm-hmm. care about their areas. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, you know, the person trying to primary Joe Manchin, Paula Jean, she cares about West Virginia so much, and it's apparent and it's infectious. Mm-hmm. And that's a person I'd be proud to vote for.
Right.
Is she a perfect Democrat that I'm 100% aligned with on everything? Probably not. I don't even know for sure. I couldn't tell you every single issue one by one.
Right.
But I'm going to assume probably not. I'd imagine we're on different pages sometimes. I haven't approved of every action Bernie has taken.
Right.
But I like the guy's platform. And I think it's by far the best platform to move forward. So I'm behind it.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need some... But in Tulsi Gabbard recently mm-hmm. came forward, who's another person. I really hope that's who I vote for in 2020. Mm-hmm. God, I would love to see that happen. Mm-hmm. But Tulsi came forward and said she's not taking corporate money anymore.
Mm.
And other establishment Democrats smeared her right away.
Mm.
Just smeared her right away.
Mm.
Instead of applauding her for setting a good example and following her lead. You know, they smeared her right away. I mean, if Democrats came out and said, we're not going to be corrupted by corporate influence anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not taking the money anymore.
Right.
We really are going to be the party of FDR, mm-hmm. which, by the way, when we were the party of FDR, we won a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we became the party of Reagan Light, or whatever you want to mm-hmm. call what this is now. I don't know what it is.
Right.
We lose. Right. It'd be one thing if this centrist recipe was a recipe to victory. Then it's like, well, okay, I guess we got to accept the baby steps. Sure. But it's a recipe for losing.
Yeah.
We're
on a downhill trajectory, and just been going. And we've epitomized with Trump. I mean,
yeah.
That's what I would say.
Trump is the result of a broken system. Trump's not. I mean, you know, these people in the quote resistance that make it out like things were just honky dory before Trump got. No.
Yeah.
This is what got us Trump. Obama promising progressive change and then giving us 8 years of centrist at best policies is what led to Trump. People were so tired of the broken promises and the stalemates. They were tired of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama's approval just kept going downhill for 8 years. He was still a very popular president compared to what we had.
Yeah.
He was still the best president of my lifetime, which is beyond sad.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why, you know, people of my generation, we're always going to be soft on Obama because he's the only president that created progressives.
Mm-hmm.
Progressives that later disagreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he created them initially in the first place.
Right.
Although I can proudly say I supported Kucinich in the 08 primary. I always thought Obama is center to center right, and that's, you know, the best we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't caucus for Kucinich because I was so scared. I thought that caucusing for Kucinich would have been supporting Hillary. And in 08, I was like, I do not want Hillary to get the nomination. That'd be the only way the Republicans would have a chance at winning. I thought that in 08.
Hmm.
So I ended up compromising for Obama, even though Kucinich was my guy.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's, you know, it's going back a ways. But, okay, so...
I'll go back. I'll finish the story with a resolution. We got
yes, please.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, they tried to get me to withdraw it. I said, no, I don't know. We'll just, let's just proceed. And when I got there, they had ruled it out of order. I found out that they had also called all the other total of two other resolutions to get money out of politics. Similar, not exactly like mine, but... they somehow negotiated with them and so gave them lesser sentences, so to speak, less harsh sentences. Mine was out of order. Theirs was like, go to committee or it's gotta be temporarily rejected or whatever. It was just, it wasn't like out of order, impossible, out of the park, you know,
mm-hmm.
like mine. So we went up and spoke about it. My co-author said, you know, we really need to bring people back into the party. The people are leaving by the droves. They need trust and all this stuff. This is the way to do it. They said, no, we're good in California. We're the, they're the, you know.
People love Dianne Feinstein. People are thrilled.
we're good with Democrats. We got a stronghold here. We're all good. And I'm just like, whatever. And then, I don't know. I tried to proceed to tell them, this is not out of order. I followed the bylaws. What's going on? And then they're like, time's up. You're done. We got 2 minutes. I'm like, no, we're not, you know, just everybody else had more time, that kind of thing. So they kept it.
So they really marginalized you guys.
Yeah. They wow. didn't want to, they did not give us the time of day that they had given to everybody else. Really.
So where are you from? Let's back up a little bit.
I'm from LA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're native. Total okay. native. What got you interested in politics?
I've always been kind of, I mean, my, I think... It might be because half of my family is from Argentina.
Okay.
And I think right there's always a protest in the street or something. We're just naturally kind of, we're not going to take no for an answer, or we're not going to just lay down and just kind of walk away if you, I don't know. So if you're doing something wrong, and I think I used to always want to be a lawyer, but then I realized that's not going to happen. Too much work involved, and I just like to stand up for the little guy. I went to mm-hmm. UC Berkeley, and I think that kind of
so helped. Really, really conservative campus,
right? I got no ideas there, no training whatsoever.
What'd you study?
I studied art history.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And one of my first actions I remember was getting into a cage in off of Souther Gate right there for to raise awareness for animal cruelty.
Okay.
And I think I must have been a freshman or something. I joined some group, and they're like, here, get in that cage. I'm like, okay. And I
wow.
sat and was in a cage.
All right. Are you vegetarian, vegan?
No, okay. I'm not. I'm not hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I like to consider myself I consume meat as ethically as possible.
Mm.
Like I am a meat eater myself as mm-hmm. well, but, mm-hmm. You know, I try to make sure that, you know, it's, you know, organic and
oh.
free range and stuff
oh, wow.
like that. I try to do
good.
That.
That's
I mean,
good.
I don't always succeed. I do the best I can, you know. I try to make sure when I buy fish, it's wild caught and stuff like that. I refuse to eat at KFC because I don't.
There
I mean,
you go.
Well, it's not hard because their food's disgusting,
yeah.
but also, you know, they pretty much torture their chickens
Ugh.
Just to save a buck, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish I could go veggie, but I don't have the discipline. And I just did a whole 30 diet that really relies on a lot of meat, so
I see.
And it's yeah, but
I gotta look it up.
Oh, you know, I talk about it. I've talked about it a lot on the show over the weeks. It's fun, and I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't rush to do it again.
Okay.
But you know, honestly, I felt pretty good. But you know, it's one of those no grains, no pasta, no
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I'm an Italian American.
But did you
guy,
need it?
So that was, oh,
did you really need
yes,
it?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Pasta is a food group for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, and I'm actually gonna have it for the first time tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, first time. Quanta, since my whole 30.
Think of how much. Don't go overboard. Like,
that's what everybody says.
Thing.
But
you're
you know what? It's been a few
this?
Days, huh?
Oh. How big is your plate gonna be?
I don't know. We're gonna find out. I mean, I'm making an entire pound. I'm not gonna eat it all myself.
Okay.
But you know, I'm making a seafood pasta dish, one of my favorite ones to make.
Okay.
I make a mean shrimp scampi. Not
okay.
trying to pat myself on the back, but I've worked on it for years. And so I'm gonna have that.
Okay.
And you know, I'm just I'm gonna pace myself as much as I reasonably can. But just thinking about it, I'm already sidetracked.
Once,
I don't know what I'm gonna ask you next.
Once you go there, you're not gonna be able to turn back. I mean, you're gonna want carbs. You're gonna want that sugar. Your body's just going to want that stuff.
You know what? Here's the thing. I want to cut back, and I feel like I will now. I feel like my eating habits are going to be permanently changed. Because the thing is like, I used to be able to, even like I had pizza for the first time. I reintroduced pizza to myself, and I ate less pizza than I normally would in a sitting. And I didn't want any more. I'm like, I'm done with this now. And I think the diet did have something to do with that. So I'm hoping I have the same effect on everything else. You know, I had rice again.
Brown rice?
White rice. Okay. But it was with like a, it was with a short rib that my roommate made.
Okay.
And I did not, I felt very full after like a serving. Like I was like, that's good. And normally I would have a little bit more of something like that. Because it was delicious, first of all. And, you know, and I love, you know, like rice, like gumbo and stuff like that. And jambalaya and stuff. I mean, I can just eat that and just shovel the carb. Because it's comfort. It's comfort food.
Yeah, totally.
But denying myself that for a month, you know, when I go back to it, now I get full easier from it. So...
All right, well, good luck. It's a lifestyle change, so I'm
told. Yeah, we've really gone off on a lot of tangents here.
I don't know where I'm at. So I'm pretty much done with the resolution topic.
Right, I'm sorry that that was...
Shut that down, and that's it. We kind of walked away.
So what is what do you have in the pan as far as... I don't want to back off the convention yet.
Right.
So you published
some stuff going on right now.
Yeah, you published a lot of videos exposing some of the stuff that was going on there. You had some videos to compliment the whole, you know, shut the F up or get out, which was, I mean, it was embarrassing to see. I mean, it was absolutely, I mean, he said that to nurses that want single payer. What selfish people, nurses, people that dedicated their lives and careers to helping sick people.
Right.
That want everybody in the country to have health care, regardless of their ability to pay for it. Those are the people you want when you're supposed to be a party for the people.
Right. The you're Democratic supposed to be. Party the of Democratic California Party. That's in good shape.
Yeah, the Democratic, which ironically is the less Democratic of the two parties because we have super delegates. Different conversation. But. Yeah.
No, the chair of the party, the then chair of the party. Got this huge award. We had to sit through that thing for probably a good 30 minutes of an award for this person who the day before told the nurses to shut the F up or the activists because they were coming in and promote, you know, they were doing their thing. They were, you know, and then the very right after that, the next day after he got this award, we on the floor of the convention, we wanted to contest the election because that the evening before we voted for the party chair, either Eric Bauman or Kimberly Ellis. And visually, you can see there were just way more supporters for Kimberly Ellis. But not just that, we were hearing that she was winning, that she had, you know, very close to winning, and you know, she kept like getting. I don't know, they kept reporting that she was close to winning, and then all of a sudden they're like, no, she lost. And we couldn't believe it. And so anyway, we wanted to contest the results because it just didn't feel right at that point, and we didn't think that Eric Bauman won. So we went to the different microphones and tried to tell them they cannot accept the results of this election. Because we had been hearing that they're going to contest, that Kimberly Ellis was going to ask for a review, an audit. Because we had also been hearing, and having been in Philadelphia for at the DNC, there was a lot of funny business going on over there. And we heard that there was funny business going on as well. So we tried to get up to the mics, and we did get up at the mics. And we were trying to use Robert's Rules of Order, because that's what this is, that's what they do. They have a meeting and you have to say, you know, I move, we do this, or, you know, I have a point of order and you want to make a change into the agenda. Well, that Burton chair, what is his name? John Burton. He basically flipped us off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like literally? He actually literally, like,
double.
Wow. Like he gave both. Oh, geez. Yes, do you give it back?
No, I was just, like, in shock. You're a lady. I was videotaping this. Yeah, I was like, did he just flip us off? And that just infuriated everybody. And I just thought, this guy got an award, you know, for being the chair of the neighborhood. This is the type of party.
And he's a bully. He's a bully.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And now that's what they're calling the next chair, Boss Bauman. That's kind of his the term that people say, you know, use for him, because they feel he's a bully as well. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing all kinds of stories that people were bullied into voting for him and told, if you don't vote for him, you're not going to have a chance in this or that, or, you know, the LA County party is going to drop its support, or, you know, all kinds of stuff. So that's been happening. But in any case, yeah, we had it from a bully to another bully. And right now, I don't know if you've heard that Kimberly Ellis' campaign has requested an audit of the election. Do you know about this?
I've heard some here and there, and I also heard it was like a matter of like 60 votes or something like that, right?
Yeah,
like
she lost by 60.
60 votes
out of about 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, actually Eric Bauman, so he became chair. And he doesn't want to grant an audit, of course, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And all his supporters right now, in our various Facebook groups, they're saying, you know, under what grounds do you need an audit? What proof do you have to request an audit? And it's like, no, we've got these allegations happening. Now we need to have an audit to prove, you know, mm-hmm. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? So they're being really bullheaded about it and dragging, I don't know what. They're being just ridiculous. So I guess Eric Bauman, I'm not sure if he wants to have Kimberly Ellis pay for it or come out of the pockets of the party. I don't think that's the point at this moment. He is not granting them access to the paperwork to do the audit, pretty much. They've gotten a lawyer. They've enumerated that hundreds of ballots were, like, when you go there, you have your badge, and when you sign up and you get your badge or your credentials for the weekend, you sign that you got it, okay? And they have your name on the list, and you sign next to your name. The next day, when it's time to vote, you go into the voting room, you show them your badge, and then they give you a ballot for you to then sign. That's what you do. Now, what's happening is hundreds of those signatures that people have signed on the ballots do not match what they supposedly signed on the first day when they got their badge. So there's some kind of forgery happening.
Jeez.
Something is, and it's not just one or two people. Mm-hmm. This is hundreds.
And this is supposed to be in, like, the Blue Bastion. Like, this is California. You'd think if ever there was, like, an example. And we're not, even here, we're not doing that.
Well, the party says we know how to run elections. No, we don't.
Yeah, clearly we don't. Yeah. I mean, I used to live in Tennessee, and the Democratic Party there was one of the most pathetic things I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, it would be like an insult, the people that they would run for, like, governor. Because these were just people that had no platform. They had no ideas. They didn't even have support from the state party because they just knew we had no chance at winning.
Mm.
And that's the party in that state. And there's some actual good progressives that are there that want them, but they just know they're pushing a boulder up a mountain. And they're just like, whatever.
No.
And I thought, like, coming to California, you would see a better state party. And it's like, it's almost like the opposite end of the spectrum. So they have the opposite problem where it's like they're so establishment because they have so much power that they're actually doing what the Democratic Party's doing nationally.
Yeah.
They're doing at the state level.
Yeah. We need to clean house.
Yeah.
Or jump ship.
Yep.
I'm for both. I really am.
I'm for an all of the above approach too. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I kind of see it as short term v long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I hate to sound like the establishment Democrats that, like, well, Trump, but the truth is Trump has some really dangerous stuff out there that we don't hear about because we're busy talking about Russia 24/7 on the corporate media, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out there nonetheless. So yeah, you have to make this guy a lame duck come 2018.
Yeah.
And Democrats are pretty much the only way you're going to do that. So primarying out some of these corporate dinos is a great idea and has a chance at winning. So yeah, I'm all about that approach, and I'm all about, like, as long as we have a two-party system that I think is broken and I want to see go away.
Yeah.
But in the short term, you know, I want to make what is supposed to be my progressive option as good as it can be. You know,
that's a good attitude.
I've never really said I am a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm registered as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I've voted Democrat pretty much. I've never voted Republican. You know, I've voted, you know, for different Green candidates and stuff like that, or Democrat. But, and I think in some cases I voted for an independent in a few things. I can't remember, but, you know, so I'm all about that in the short term. But in the long term, you know, I see the fact that when you have a two-party system, you can get away with having a party that has no platform.
Right.
That's a problem. You don't see that in other countries. And, you know...
No choices here.
You really don't. So yeah, I do want to see the two-party system end. I also want to see alternative voting methods. Mm-hmm. I want to see ranked choice. I want to see... I forget what it's called, but there's
range
like a...
Range choice?
Huh?
There's rank choice and range choice.
Is range choice the one where you can vote for multiple people?
And what's the rank choice?
Rank choice is when you, like, yes. vote for, your order, like, your order and preference, yeah. and then it's determined that way. But I think, maybe it's called range choice, I forget.
I think it's range choice,
but
yeah.
that's where you can just vote for multiple people.
Right.
And... whoever has the most, your votes will just divert to that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, say just for instance, you know, we'll just use 2016 as an example for simplicity's sake. I like Jill Stein's platform the best. I vote for Jill Stein.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly don't want to see Donald Trump become president, so I vote for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, Hillary Clinton gets the most votes, so my vote just deflects to her. And then that's how it's determined. And, of course, you know, this would also involve getting rid of the Electoral College, which mm-hmm. is something else I think we need to do.
Right.
And something else I think the Democrats are missing a golden opportunity, I think, by not putting that on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, that is a long game. Yes, that involves a lot of work that we're not going to get to anytime real soon. But by putting it on your platform, by saying, look, this is a tired thing that's based in slavery, you're conveying a message a lot of people are going to get behind.
I think there was a resolution to get rid of the Electoral College.
Democrats have no reason not to. They're the only ones that get screwed over by it. Mm. Democrats get screwed by it. That's why I don't understand, like, why they're not... I mean, this is the second time in, like, 20 years. You know, and so why are you not... screaming to the rooftop about that, trying to educate more people about that.
I think
having that on the platform, people would get behind it.
They're so, I don't know. The party is so, is. Well, you said I can't swear, so I think I'll just. I think I'm not going to say what. I can't say what I'm about to say without swearing, so I'll
You're
just
frustrated.
Leave it.
And I get it. I am too. I'm yeah. frustrated too, but I would like to see a stronger Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want to see the Republicans maintain the House and Senate in 2018 either.
Yeah. And
because they are doing some dangerous stuff.
One of the things that we had both mentioned earlier in this podcast was trust. And if people don't trust the party of the people, they're not going to join it just because the party is fear-mongering and, you know, taking advantage of a two-party system, saying, if you don't vote for us, we're stuck with him.
So,
And they're not coming forward with, you know, why should we trust them if they can't do elections?
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting money out of politics, and if they're being bought off by corporations, you know, why? Why would we trust that?
Right. So, normally, we got to close here, but normally I ask people to plug themselves, but I know you're more of a private activist, so
mm-hmm.
the way I'll put it to you, what resources do you recommend people check out to learn more about causes you care about, to get involved?
Hmm. Well, I will do then a private plug because...
All right, yeah, well, take it however you want.
Private-public plug is...
All right.
Which will answer the question as well. So I'm involved in the Feel the Burn Democratic Club.
Okay.
And I know it's, you know, what's a Democratic Club? I mean, who's heard of that and who does that, you know? But that's kind of the way that we're going to take back our party locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know where your listeners are listening from, but if you're in the LA County area, check us out, Feel the Burn Democratic Club of Los Angeles. Oh, just comma Los Angeles. Website? Facebook. Oh,
okay.
There's a website, feeltheburnla.org. And yeah, we've got activism going on. We've got local politicians coming, asking for us to endorse them. I mean, they need to impress us, and they need to follow the Bernie Sanders platform. And you can look at our mission statement and all that online.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you.